In 1998, we think that wasn't too long ago. It actually was a long time ago, 21 years, 2 years, 1 years. In 1998, Hurricane Charley made its way all the way inland to Del Rio, where it caused mass flooding, several deaths, and many left missing. The town received more than 20 inches of rain in 24 hours. It was a record. Up till then, the record had been 8.5 inches in 24 hours. The main problem occurred when debris upriver started to gather and block the Rio Grande. And when it broke, that water just came rushing in to Del Rio. At one point, the state director for FEMA, which I don't think FEMA was even invented then, but for disaster coordination, he said that the water of the Rio Grande was a mile wide. That's very, very big. Well, so that summer, I took my usual trip to Dallas to continue my seminary work there, but my husband headed south to Del Rio. It was the first time he had ever gone on a trip called UM Army. I guess someone at church twisted his arm, and he said he would go. I had heard of UM Army, but I just never seemed able to go because I was always in seminary in the summer in those days. But I remember a phone call to him in the middle of that week. I was standing in the basement in one of the buildings on the SMU campus, and I called him from a payphone to see how he was doing. And it was the middle of the week, and so I said, "Well, how's it going?" He said, "Well, I just can't believe it. When I first got here, my work team was made up of all girls. I couldn't believe my bad luck. Only girls. Now Wednesday," this is Wednesday, he says, "but those girls are awesome. They really know how to work." And he was having the greatest, greatest time. He said, "This camp is great." And I remember thinking at the time, I was so glad that it was working out. And by the time we all got home, back to Bernardo, back to the Columbus area, he was still talking about it and how he was going to go again. In fact, 2 years later, after all that portion of my seminary was completed, I went for the first time because he twisted my arm that time. And since then, our family has been involved with UM Army in some way nearly every summer. Well, good morning and welcome to the season of Epiphany. That word epiphany means an illuminating discovery, realization, or disclosure. The word illuminating is no accident. The season of Epiphany, as far as I'm concerned, could just be called the season of light. Now, you've probably all heard that expression, "I saw the light." There was even a great country song written called "I Saw the Light" by, of all people, Hank Williams. But there you have it. All of us can see the light. And when we say that, we're saying that we suddenly realize that we missed something that was there all the time. We were walking in darkness, but we turned to the light once we became aware of it. So the season of Epiphany is the time that we celebrate the journey of the three wise men to Bethlehem to see Jesus after his birth. Those men were guided by the light of a brilliant star, and the star rested over the stable where Jesus was born, and they are drawn to that light, and they worship Jesus in the stable. Later, they see the light of Herod's deviousness, and they are enlightened in a dream to go home by a different route. Humans are drawn to light just like moths. But like moths, we rarely rest on the source of that light. It's just too hot to stay that close for long. In fact, most of us stay just close enough to the light source to keep it in our view, and we stay just far enough away from it to actually feel its heat. We'd rather settle for artificial light than take the risk of being burned by the real thing. For instance, we can stare for hours at lit up screens from phones and iPads and computers and televisions, all of which are artificial light. But looking at the sun, a God-created source of light, makes us turn away after only a few seconds. The light is too intense. Now, most of us are quite content with artificial light. For one thing, we're the ones who control it. We can turn it on and we can turn it off. Created light is beyond our control. That might be another reason that it is so difficult to stay within the source of that light for very long. Now, the wise men traveled to a far and distant land guided by light. They left their own homes to find this light. Verses 1 and 2 in Matthew say, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." Now, they only came to Jerusalem to ask for directions. They weren't there to see the grandeur of the temple or to pay homage to King Herod. This is an important thing to remember. They only came asking for directions. They state their business at the beginning. We came to worship God. Well, Isaiah 60 describes a time when Israel had been in exile for several generations, and it says, "Arise, Jerusalem, let your light shine for all to see, for the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. Darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth, but the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see your radiance." Now there's that image of light again. People are drawn to light. But in that passage from Isaiah, the word "come" is used 5 times. Before the end of the 7th verse, people will come home to Jerusalem again. In fact, all nations will come to Jerusalem to see the light of God. So coming to the light means coming to God. In Genesis, the first chapter, verse 3, God says, "Let there be light." And there was light, and God saw that the light was good. And then in John's Gospel, chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God created everything through him. The Word gave life to all creation, and his life brought light to all." And here's my favorite verse. "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Light is the essence of who God is and of who we are. We cannot live without light. Well, by the time the wise men met with King Herod, they had discovered that the one they sought was prophesied in Scripture. And they found out that Scripture said he would be born in Bethlehem. The priests and leaders of the religious law pointed the way to the Scripture, and Micah chapter 5, verse 2, "But you, O Bethlehem of Judah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. In the beginning was the Word." That's pretty ancient, going all the way back to the beginning. And so Herod tells the wise men, I love this part of the story, this and the fact that when Herod was disturbed, the whole city was disturbed as well. You got to know what that really means, right? When the king is mad, it hurts us all, right? So, but this part, Herod says, come and let's talk about this. Y'all go to Bethlehem and worship the king, and then come back and tell me where he is so that I can go and worship him. Whatever. As if King Herod would worship anyone but himself. Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann says, the narrative of the Epiphany is the story of two human communities, Jerusalem with its great pretensions and Bethlehem with its modest promises. And although the wise men go to Jerusalem first, they go on to the village of Bethlehem. They reorganize their wealth and learning and reorient themselves and their lives around a baby with no credentials. And he goes on to say that our task is to let the vulnerability of Micah 5 disrupt the self-congratulation of Isaiah 60. In other words, our task is to find the light in the most unexpected and remote places. It is easy to find light in the big city, even if it is artificial light. It is much harder to find light in remote places. In Isaiah, God is gathering the people together. In Matthew, God is taking foreigners on a journey to the place where he can be found. And it's not in the big temple, or even in the middle of the huge city of Jerusalem. It's in a remote and humble stable. On Christmas Eve, we were reminded that God does some of his best work in remote places, not just so that we will go find him, but so that we ourselves will be changed by the journey that draws us to him. Light is our only guide when we venture beyond the familiar. When I finally got to UM Army those 2 years after my husband first went, I was given a job that should have been given to someone who had been several times. We arrived late because the camp was in Gilmer. Do y'all know where Gilmer is? It is not close to here. That was back in the days before the Rio, Texas Conference, or Southwest Texas Conference, had their own UM Army. So we were still going to the Texas Conference for UM Army. And Gilmer is in northeast Texas, far, far away. And so we were very late. My husband drove us, but we were very late because I had to be in church that morning. So by the time we got there and I walked into the room, all those kids were everywhere. It was packed. And I was trying to make my way to the registration table, and I finally got there, and I gave him my name, and the lady at the table looked at me and said, oh, good, you're here. You're our site coordinator. And I said, what's a site? That's how much I didn't know. It was pretty hard. And then she said, oh, don't worry about that. By the way, you're going to be doing some training in 20 minutes. I went, and so she said, it'll be over there. I went, okay. And so my first thought was just to panic. And then I thought, I really don't have enough time for that. I have to train some people to do something that has to do with sites, and I don't know what that is. So here I go. So I went to the area where I was supposed to be. And there in the light of the table was someone who was one of the camp leaders that God provided for me in that remote area. So that we could do training together, I mostly listened. But by the third group or so who came by, I was able to do that training. It wasn't that difficult. The light had gathered us in as people from all different places. And the light was in control, not me. And I will admit that it was a very confusing and hard week. But by the end, I was ready to go back the next summer. Not because I liked the job of site coordinator, but because I saw the light in so many places that week. I was drawn to the light of Christ throughout that week. It was holy work, not just fixing people's homes, but seeing the changes in our kids, in the adults, and mainly in myself. I wish I had time to tell you of all the different experiences we had in that first year. But it wasn't the physical work that brought about all those changes in us. It was the relationships that we formed with each other, but also with our clients, with the people whose homes we were working on. It was the relationships that drew us to the light, not the work. That's just a distraction, really. We're supposed to be there to mingle with the folks and to say we're here because God called us here. You see, I thought I was going to be doing a job that required me to know a lot of stuff. But what I really found out was that I was going to be changed by God again. Because you see, light has that effect on people. It changes us, and it changes the way we look at everything. We are the United Methodist Church in Mason, Texas. It's who we are. We're called to be the church in the world. So how do we make that part come together? Well, as a church here in Mason, we possess the qualities of friendliness, generosity, steadfastness, loyalty, so many more. I could make the longest list of the strengths in this church body. And all of those qualities attract other people to this church. I bet a lot of you who have become new members in the last few years will attest to that, that there's so much about this church that attracts other people to us. We are a visible and vibrant light in this community. But if this church building is our home, if this church building is like Jerusalem to us, as Isaiah says, we're called to scatter out of it. At least part of our call is to live in diaspora, in Babylon, or in Gilmer, or in Brackettville, or Grit, or Streeter, or London, or wherever we are called to bring light, not just in Zion, and not just in Mason. You know that song, Gather Us In? I think maybe somebody should write a song called Scatter Us Out. God is active in the world, but how often do we venture outside to see the activity that is going on in His name in places we have no way to go and maybe even no desire to visit? How often do we leave the comfort of this sanctuary on a Sunday morning to take God's name to strangers? If we're trying to attract people to our beautiful building or to our programs or even because of our great qualities, we are missing the point. Christ alone is the attraction. We are attracted to Him, and He is attracting us or drawing us close all the time. I hope we're not trying to attract people to us. I hope instead we are serving as light in the world so that people be attracted not to us but to Christ in us, that we might say His name and tell others what it is that keeps us going. If we're serious about offering Christ to all, some of us must go out. Scripture tells us that in so many places, in so many ways. So who will go? Who will leave the comfort of their well-ordered lives drawn by the true light instead of the artificial light that we ourselves have created. Epiphany is the season of light. Seek the light. Be drawn to the light. Keep walking. Ask for directions and listen for God's voice. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.